All right, cool, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Postgraduate Podcast. This is going to be another episode, but this is probably going to be what is currently known as the short episode series, which is basically where I chat a lot of WAS, if you like. So it's not like scripted or anything, but it's just, you know, it's roughly planned. I was going to rebrand when I release my next Hench episode on Perception, but that's taking mad long because it's just a very fucking packed episode. But yeah, when that comes out, like, the rebranding will happen and all that, so I don't know what this will be called in the future. Probably like Alex's log or something like that, I don't know. But anyways, welcome to the third episode, I believe, of the SES, the short episode series, and this episode is going to be on pessimism versus optimism. So this is a bit of a mad one. I didn't plan this at all. Essentially, I have like a rough idea of what I'm going to talk about, but this is going to be like it's kind of like as if you're on a Skype call with me. So I'm going to be literally like Googling stuff and like just chatting to you as I just think, you know, think my way through this, through the argument that I'm going to make. So yeah, welcome to the journey, if you like. But pessimism versus optimism. I've been quite, you know, interested, if you like, in this topic. Let's actually Google what pessimism and optimism is. So optimism is hopefulness and confidence about the future or the success of something. And then pessimism is a tendency to see the worst aspect of things or believe that the worst will happen. So these two are that. I've asked on my Instagram story, like to do a, well, I made like a little vote thing whether people are optimists and pessimists, and I think slightly more were optimistic. So I think I was like maybe 60-40 towards optimistic side. However, I didn't really message the optimists, but I did message the pessimists, and I asked them what exactly makes them a pessimist, like, well, why are they pessimistic, you know? And pretty much all of them said that they, you know, either they used to be optimists, but then they just don't see the point in being optimistic anymore, or they were just, you know, never seeing the point in being optimistic anymore, because, and this is pretty sound logic, this is how I was as well, if something is about to happen, right, if you expect the worst, you know, then if it goes good, then you're happy, if it goes bad, then you're content, right? So, you know, you're not going to be at a loss, if you like. Like, yeah, you'll feel a bit, you know, annoyed that it didn't work out either way, even if you are being pessimistic. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, yeah, you know, I expected this. However, if you're optimistic, you either expect it to go well. Well, you do. You expect it to go well. So if it goes well, then you're there like, yay, you know, woohoo. You know, then I'm like, you're happy that it went well. However, if it doesn't go well, then you're not just going to be content, you're going to be, you know, I don't know, like upset, I suppose, you know, upset and all the other words, all the other synonyms. However, one thing, right, that I think doesn't work with the argument, that is flawed with the argument, I don't think that if you're an optimist and something doesn't go how you expect it to go, I don't think that you will see that as an like L. I don't think you'll be upset basically about the thing not working out. So whereas it's kind of like, I suppose, whereas a pessimist will feel content if the thing didn't work out, an optimist will also feel content if it didn't work out, but they'll feel content if it didn't work out, not because they expected it to go badly, like the pessimist, but because of their, you know, outlook, because of their mindset, they do not see it going badly as it actually going badly. So, like, they see it as, you know, a learning curve, if you like. Like, they're optimistic, innit? They're hopeful about the future or the success of something. And if that success didn't work out, they're still hopeful about the future. So let me give you an example, because, you know, this show is all about examples. And this is basically the reason why I decided to do this episode to begin with, because I wasn't going to release anything until the Perception episode, but here we are. Basically, my phone got sucked out my pocket last night. So that was great. I was literally carrying fucking pizza, right, on my forearms, and someone walked past, and they just, what, man, my phone's gone. Apologies. So, obviously, fat, fat L, because in that moment, when I realised that it was gone, I was a bit madded. I'm not going to lie. I was a bit madded. And actually, I'm going to talk about this in my perception episode, which is quite mad. But, you know, you'll see more context as to what I'm about to say, but you'll see in that episode, so, you know, stay tuned, I guess. But I was quite madded because I realized in that moment how important a phone is to me. And not because, like, I like to go on Instagram, but because it's literally connected to, like, every part of my life. So, for instance, I trade using my phone. So, like, all my stuff is on my phone. It's all set up, all the apps, like, all the logins, all my notes to do with trading, all of that is all on that phone. Then my photography, all the photos, all the screenshots, like, all... Every photo that I have on my phone is on my phone. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I didn't back my phone up. There's no way I'm getting my phone or the files back. So, obviously, I'm a fucking... let me be PG. I'm a twat for not backing up anything or not even having insurance on my phone, but whatever, doesn't matter. So yeah, all the photos are gone. What else? It also, like, all the notes to do with, I don't know, the podcast, all the notes to do with gym, with uni, with, I don't know, work experience, all of, like, basically the phone is connected to every aspect of my life, pretty much. Coffee so buff. So the phone is connected pretty much to every single aspect of my life. It's not just a phone, right? It's not just, basically, see, this is quite mad because I don't really want to go into a lot of perception things like I will in the perception episode, but roughly speaking, it's not just a device, right? It's not just a little solid flat thing that you're holding when you look at your phone. It's much, much deeper than just a phone, right? It's literally, it's like a piece of a puzzle, and that puzzle is your whole world around you. I mean, you know, obviously different people rely on their phone different amounts, but whatever. And that piece of the puzzle is quite central. It's very close to, like, being one of the most important things in our lives, and losing it is a bit of a madness. It's a bit of a madness. However, this is where the interesting part comes in. This is where the pessimist versus optimist comes in. Because I've been reading books. I read one book on the four temperaments. As in temperaments, so, like, what your behavior is, I suppose. And, like, I've been watching a few TED Talks and I've been reading a few things here and there. And I've come to realize that being pessimistic is a little bit of a lameness. It's a little bit long to be pessimistic. And this is why. I used to always think, right, if an L was to happen to you, right, you are now in the situation where the L happened to you. So you're no longer expecting the L. You're no longer, like, looking back at the, I don't know. But basically, you have encountered the L. That is it. That is your life now. So I've lost my phone. When I realized that I lost my phone, that was it, and my phone's gone. It's not going to magically come back, you know, if I think about the good stuff, obviously not, but I have lost the phone, right? How I continue my life from this point on is very dependent on me. So, like, not only how I continue life, but, like, how I, you know, how I feel, how my future turns out is very dependent on me, right? And what I realized is that it's kind of like, I used to read about this stuff, so it gave me, like, I have, like, the background knowledge, but now it actually happened, and I put these thoughts into practice, and that's basically what I'm talking about this episode. So, I took the L, and now there's two paths. I can either be optimistic, or I can be pessimistic, right? So, I can either be hopeful and confident about the future, or I can, you know, see the worst in what happened, and basically just focus on the L. Essentially, you either focus on the L or you focus on the W, right? And, or not even the W, you focus on I suppose the lack of L in, like, let's say the L is about 60, not 60, losing your phone is like 90% L, but there's 10% not L. Like, the 10% not L is, for example, that I'm gonna procrastinate less because I have no phone, you know, or, like, I don't know, I'm going to get a break from social media, like stuff like that, I don't know. But there's always like a silver lining, right? And you either focus on the negative parts of things, so like you either focus on the 90% and like, you know, oh, my phone's gone, like what am I going to do? Or you focus on the good stuff and you're there like, well, you know, at least I won't procrastinate as much. Now, this all sounds like flowery bullshit. However, I am talking about this assuming that people are being pragmatic, right? Assuming that one is being pragmatic, so as in logical and, you know, forward-thinking, I suppose, and open-minded. You can either focus on the good stuff or you can focus on the bad stuff, right? But I don't necessarily mean, you know, I don't necessarily mean that by focusing on the good stuff, you're completely, you know, ignoring the bad stuff, right? I still know that the L happened. However, being optimistic about this L let me deal with this problem, you know, a lot better. So it's been, what, it's been, what's the time, 8? It's been, like, I don't know, 21 hours since I lost the phone. And, albeit at the start, I was like, at the start, I was kind of feeling the pain, like right in the chest, you know, the heartburn, like, oh, lost the phone. But at the same time, I just wasn't focusing on the fact that I lost the phone. I came back home and I went through exactly what was on my head. Like, I wrote it out, I got an A3 like pad, right? Got a pen, wrote it out. And what I wrote out was there are positives to losing a phone. Obviously there are a load of negatives. The negatives definitely outnumber the positives. However, are the negatives really that bad? And whilst in my head, you know, I did feel like the negatives were that bad, but it's because obviously with so much stuff in your head, there's only so much your consciousness, your prefrontal cortex, whatever, there's only so much that your conscious can hold, like, at once, right? You can't think about every L, every positive, every like solution, every aspect of losing your phone. You cannot think about it clearly if it's all in your head. So after writing it out, I wrote out, you know, that potentially the phone could be broken into and all my data could be, you know, stolen and all that stuff. And I have like a lot of stuff on there. Obviously I have my trading account, I have like all the passwords, all the bank account details, everything. So all the data could have been lost, you know. The other thing, what the oh my god. The other thing is that like all my photos and all my notes and all my other files aren't backed up, so that's all gone. The other thing is that I won't be able to, you know, talk to people or like communicate in general, so that's an L. And then obviously the good side is that I'll procrastinate less, you know, who gives a fuck, but whatever, still a good thing to focus on. And the reason it's a good thing to focus on is because I've been needing to do a lot more uni work, so, you know, not procrastinating will at least help me do a load of uni work, which is good. But yeah, so I wrote them out, and after writing it out on a piece of paper, and I've said this to a few people in person, but what happens is you lose that bias, if you like, so you kind of get it out from your brain, and by writing it out, like, the information, by writing it out on paper, so, like, you know, the, you know, all my files could be stolen, like all my photos are gone, I lost the emotional barrier around that information. So, you know, let's say, well, actually, basically, it's kind of like I lost my phone and then I was deeping it. Like, other people also lose their phone, right? So let's say, I don't know, let's say one of my boys lost their phone. I'll just be like, ah, you know, you lost your phone, yeah, it's an L, but it's not really that deep, is it? However, I lost my phone. So that means when I thought of it, I was thinking of it as a fat, fat L. So by writing it out on a piece of paper, I lost that emotional attachment of, oh, this is a fat, fat L. So now it was just information. It was as if my housemate told me, you know, he lost his phone. It was just blank information, open, unemotionally attached info, right? And then what I did, what everyone will naturally do is they see it on paper and then they just analyze it a little bit. Your brain literally just analyzes it because your prefrontal cortex isn't thinking about these things anymore. Like, they're out on paper, it can now move on and think about other stuff. So Now, what it's thinking about is just like doing some background analyzing, like just processing. It's processing the information. And what I realized is that, for example, all my files will be stolen. First of all, probably not. It's some Samsung, well, it was a Samsung Galaxy S10. So that's not getting broken into. And if it is going to get broken into, minor, because all I have to do is just contact my provider, EE, represent, and they'll just, you know, block the phone. So I did that in the morning, and they just blocked the phone. So all my files are no longer gone. That is no longer an L, like, at all. All my photos and all my notes are gone. So all my photos, whatever, like screenshots, you know, I've pretty much never in my life actually went back to look through my photos. And if I did, it was literally just to find, like, some sort of ID or, like, the passport photo to, like, attach it to some email sign. So photos, really and truly, oh well, I'll find more. I have some on my computer, who cares, you know, at the end of the day. In 5 years, I'll be fine, so why should it affect me now? Notes was a bit of a hard-hitting one, because I did have a lot of key notes, but at the end of the day, once again, like, I emptied out my notepad, a couple of weeks ago, like, I cleared it and, like, made sure that it's, refined it, basically. And I just still never went back onto it. Like, I took all that time to refine it so that I only have good notes in... Pardon me. So that I only have good notes in there. I just never went back. Like, it's mad. I pretty much never read any of those notes. And I don't even... can't even remember what I have in the notes. So, you know, losing all the photos and losing all the notes, at the end of the day, it's really not that big of an L. It's really not an issue. It's a bit of an inconvenience. It's quite an inconvenience. It's a fine inconvenience. However, oh well, you know, like, if your friend lost all their photos, oh well, who cares? Like, it's not, nah, I'm not, like, a professional photographer and, like, lost all of those photos. Nah, it's just fucking screenshots of memes and shit. Like, fuck me, who gives a fuck? And then you have, what else is there? Like, all the, I don't know, just the L of having to come, like, basically download all the, like, come back to all the applications and having to download them on a new phone, having to log in, linking all the accounts together. All of that is an L, but again, at the end of the day, how long will that take, really? Like, I had this new, basically, I went back to my old phone, Galaxy S6, lovely phone, except the battery dies in, like, I don't know, 2 hours. But yeah, like, I went back onto it and I pretty much already have all the apps. Like, as soon as I need an app, I you know, I download it and I log in, and so far I have, I don't know, 1, 2, 5, 8, 9. I have like 10 apps on here, and it's been a day basically, and I don't need any more apps, which means that all the other apps, obviously there'll be a few key ones that I just haven't remembered yet, but like, these are really the only apps that I kind of need in my day. So, you know, is it really that much of an L? Like, is it really that much of an inconvenience? I pretty much have all access to pretty much everything again, like, because of Google and Facebook. So that's all the socials and all the emails and all of that done. I'm back into my trading account. I'm back onto, like, the only thing I need to do now, basically, is, like, I don't know, my banking account, because I don't have a phone number yet. So, yeah, like, that's not really an L either. And what... this basically, what I'm alluding to, what this whole situation made me realize, is that I may not have explained it very well right now, but there is a breakdown in the loop. Like, there is a breakdown in argument when you think that being pessimistic is better, simply because if you expect situations to not work out, then you will be content with them not working out, and also because you'll be happier if they do work out. I don't think that is necessarily how it works. I feel like optimists literally see situations in the exact same way. So they'll be happy that it did work out. Maybe not as happy as if they expected it to not work out, but they'll still be happy, right, that it did work out. And if it doesn't work out, they will not feel upset about it. They will also feel content, because they will see it as a learning curve, or they'll focus on the silver lining. And what I realized is, I kind of, like, when I was younger, when I was little, as I think I started saying it, but I think I went on a tangent, but like, when I was younger, I always thought, if an L was to happen and you're already in that situation, you're pretty much the only person who, like, who's in control of how your future turns out. So you're the only person who can, roughly speaking, you're the only person who can affect how you feel the next day. So either you're gonna wake up and you're gonna, let's say you lost your phone, I could either wake up and be like bare mopey, bare upset, bare like, oh, what am I gonna do, you know, like take everything very slowly and like just feel very bad and pity myself about everything, or I can wake up the next day and I can be like, all right, cool, L's happen, minor, whatever, let's get this over and done with. Let's just download whatever I can think of right now, and that's gonna take me, I don't know, 20 minutes, minor. I'll get a new phone eventually, within a month's time I'll get a better phone, this, that. Like, the end of the next day, I feel like when I was younger, when I was pessimistic, I mean, I used to have that mindset, right? But I didn't put it into practice. So this is the first time that I actually put it into practice. So what I mean by that is I still used to be pessimistic, right? So I knew that being optimistic would probably be better. And I tried, you know, the past 3 years to change into an optimist, if you like. But I was still pessimistic back when I was younger. So I used to, if I was to lose my phone, I would be mopey. I'd be, you know, upset. I'd feel a lot of self-pity. You know, I'd be like, oh, why'd this happen to me? I'd do everything slowly. I'd feel very bad the whole day. And the next day I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, my life is so bad, la, la, la. But now, I don't. I woke up and I was like, you know, at the end of the day, the person that it affects the most, whether I'm pessimistic or optimistic, is myself. I can either have a good day or I can have a bad day. Then the day after that could either be good or it could be bad. And that is up to me. And it's not even like it's up to me and I have to go climb a mountain. All I have to do is literally, first, there's two things. There's two fat keys in this episode, right? All I have to do is, one, get the information out of my head and onto a piece of paper so that it's out of this perception bubble. It lost its emotional attachment, right? So you can then look at the information and your brain can just analyze it and you can think realistically and pragmatically about what is on the paper, like about what happened. And the second thing is that basically all you have to do to be optimistic is to focus on the positives. And what I mean by that is your brain is, and this will be explained again a lot better in the perception episode, but your brain is basically, you have control over your consciousness, right? So you have control over what you're thinking about actively. However, you do not have control over your subconscious. You don't have control over how you feel directly. You can't just be like, and then bang, you're suddenly, you know, you got more serotonin flowing around your body, or like, I don't know, your forearm just lost like 4 degrees in temperature. Like, you can't just do that, right? That's all your subconscious. However, what you can do, you can prime your subconscious. You can prime your subconscious using your consciousness. And priming, what that means is you think about something, and then by thinking about it, your subconscious then, like, it seeps into your subconscious, basically. And your subconscious focuses on that thing a bit more, right? And this is proven to be, like, to work. Priming works very, very well. It's like, basically, I'll explain it in more detail, but basically, in the perception episode, but basically you prime, right? So you prime your subconscious into thinking a certain way, like you put it on the right path. It's kind of like, the way I'd like to describe it is you have the conscious, which is the trainer, like the trainer, let's say, and then the subconscious, which is the ape, right? So you, as the conscious, you have the ability to pick the ape up and put the ape on the right path, and then the ape will somehow stumble along that path, but it will go down that path. So by focusing on the positives, you prime your brain to focus on the positives. And what that means is, if I was to think, I'm at such an inconvenience, right, that I lost my phone. If I was to just think about that, it will seep into my subconscious, and my subconscious will really, really deep it, right? It will really analyze that thing, because that is the only thing on my mind, right? And it will think about it, it will overthink, it will think about everything surrounding it, and it will also be primed for that negative outlook. It will be primed for being mopey, being slow, being upset, being self-piteous, I don't know, but like, your brain will enter a state where it feels bad, right? It's on the path to feeling bad. However, if you focus on the positives, and if that's the only thing in your head, like in your consciousness, in your active memory, if that's the only thing right there in your forehead, then your subconscious doesn't really have, like, it will still think about the bad things, and it will still be being processed at the back of your head, but mainly it will still focus on the good stuff. Like, if you just keep thinking about the good stuff, your subconscious will think about the good stuff a lot more, and then eventually it will just pretty much only think about the good stuff. And what that means is you will feel a lot better. You will be on the path to feeling good, feeling proactive, you know, feeling confident about the future, if you like. So, how do I conclude? So what I did is I basically focused on not the fact that it's a fat L, but the fact that I'll procrastinate less, which means I'll get a lot more uni work done, which will make me feel a lot better. Like, then it'll make me feel very good, because I'm quite behind on uni and I'd really need to catch up. I also focused on the fact that I will get a detox. Like, oh, you know, that sounds so, so wet, but at the end of the day, it's like the only word I can think of. Like, I will get a break from social media and, well, not even social media, I don't even care about social media that much, but like, I'll get a break from my phone, which is, you know, good. Like, I keep watching YouTube all the time and like procrastinating in general, so I'll get a break from the phone. What else is there that's good? Another good thing is that I'd much rather lose my phone now than in the future. So like, if I was 30 and I had my phone in that same pocket, and I had like some mad information on it, like, basically right now my phone isn't that deep to me, but I feel like when I'm 30 it'll be a lot more important to me. Like, it'll be a lot more attached to my life. So by losing my phone now, I know to now never leave it in that pocket, in that side pocket where it's not like locked up or anything like that. It was even like sticking out a tiny bit, so like, you know, I'm very stupid in hindsight, but it's not, I don't know, I didn't expect to be pickpocketed in it. But now I just know to never leave my phone there. So I'd much rather take the L now than in 10 years where it can actually really affect me. What other positives are there? I guess now if people want to talk to me, they have to meet me in person, which is also a positive, because I feel, I mean, fucking with coronavirus, no one's going to link up anymore. But, you know, assuming that wasn't a thing. Yeah, like, people have to meet me in person, which is a lot more better than, you know, talking on social media or whatnot. So yeah, I feel like losing my phone was quite a big learning curve, and I feel like by focusing on the positives, and what allows you to focus on the positives is also by writing everything on your mind out on a piece of paper, because then you won't have the emotional attachment. You can objectively see the information, you can process the information bit by bit, you can analyze every key point, you know, you can work out the positive, the negatives, the cost benefit analysis. You can do a lot if it's out on paper. You can't do a lot if it's in your head, because in your head it's bare clouded. We're not good at that. We can't think very henchily if our head is clouded and packed with information. So having it out on paper, you know, very good. And as I said, that allows you to focus on the positives as well. And focusing on the positives really changes your mood. It really changes your outlook, if you like. It does make you more confident about the future. And, you know, I did take an L, but I did learn from it. And I feel like this kind of set in stone that I'm no longer pessimistic. I'm optimistic. Obviously, still, you know, realistic at the same time. Like, being optimistic doesn't mean you're naive, right? It just, of course, yeah, there are optimists who are naive, but being optimistic alone does not define you as naive. It just means that whenever something happens, you just think, okay, cool, you're hopeful about the future, right? And not just hopeful, you're also just focusing on the better stuff, right? So I think this incident set in stone that I'm no longer pessimistic, that I'm optimistic. It also set in stone the fact that what I've been learning from trading about patience, about analyzing information without attaching emotion to it, that's paying off as well, not only in trading but also now in real life. I learned to obviously not leave my phone in that pocket, so be a lot more careful and stuff. I've learned to back up my data as well, backing up my data. I mean, don't really care about the stuff on my phone, but still it would be good. Also turning on things like Find My Samsung or whatever, having that on would have been good, but I'm a fucking cretin, just didn't do that. So, but yeah, a lot of L's taken, but at the same time, in the long run, it's not that deep. So yeah, this was the short episode series on pessimistic versus optimistic. Let me know what you think. I feel like I did pessimists a bit dirty in this episode. No harm I meant, you know, whatsoever. I'm just literally, this is just what's in my head. I know both sides, and yeah, this is just what I think. So yeah, thank you for tuning in, thank you for listening, hope you learned something today. Maybe you, I don't know, feel very passionate about this subject, so feel free to message me, you know, always open for debates, discussions. I have my phone, not my good phone, but I have a courtesy phone from my wardrobe. So I have a phone, so, you know, I'll still be able to talk to people. Yeah, hopefully this, you know, helps some people, I guess. Maybe it gives people different ideas about how to look at life and stuff like that. I'm not really going to edit this a lot. I'm just going to make sure that the audio is good. But I'm not really going to edit out any of the... Okay, that was quite loud. Apologies for that. But I feel like noises like that were quite common. But I can't be asked to edit them out. This isn't even like a proper episode. As I said, this was literally just me fucking walking through what I think, and like, yeah, so, you know, thank you for listening, stay tuned. The next episode on perception will be a lot better. I'm also trying to, not trying really at the moment, but I'm thinking about having a website, as I said before, but all the scripts to all the good episodes will be on that. So, you know, the future's looking calm. And also, if anyone has any phones which are used that they want to sell for cheap, you know, I'll have it, send it my way, let me know. Yeah, so have a good day.